Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the West Data Podcast. As if you've been listening for a while, you know every couple of weeks we do a longer podcast. But one of the things that we want to start doing is just keeping our finger on the pulse of West Data. So this is a special The Pulse edition of the West Data Podcast. When something cool happens, we want to bring that to you right away. So that's what happened just over the weekend. Something very cool happened.
Yeah, Hawaii High School for the 5A state champions in basketball. That's the second time they're the champs in 3 years.
Very cool.
And had to get that out to you.
Yeah, and so Coach Andy Harrington and Liam Campbell both came to join us today. So,
and, you know, with our finger on the pulse of things and having it be real time, we have a great conversation with you you're about to see. And then right as we wrapped, Coach checked his phone. And saw that Liam was named Max Prep's Athlete of the State of Idaho, Athlete of the Year. All those words.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. So you'll see a little clunky at the end, but it's real time. You get to see his reaction to it, which is really special.
Yeah, so kind of an interesting first pulse. Here you go. Check it out.
We're coming at you today with our 5A state champions, the Owyhee Storm. We have basketball players in the house. Coach Andy Harrington and Liam Campbell, our senior guard. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, congratulations on your big win last weekend.
Feels good. Doesn't feel real, though, to be honest. I mean, I think it's a great way to go out for me, you know, being the only senior, so it's pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. Only senior. How great is that for you, Coach? You're only losing one awesome player.
It's a big loss, but we got everyone else back, so it feels good.
Well, and I was joking off the air a little bit ago about Dynasty, but hey, two championships in 3 years. Andy, how gratifying. How cool is it? To do something that's really hard to do.
Yeah, we work really hard, a lot of hours that go unnoticed, especially these kids. And to end the season as number one feels really, really good. The amount of times he's asked to be in the gym at 11 o'clock at night early mornings or whatever, it felt good that it paid off.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
How do you do, I mean, take us through what it looks like to be a player, either one of you, on a team like this. Are you in the weight room? Are you in the gym? Are you shooting? Are you constantly working with trainers? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, but it's just all part of the process. I mean, we're just a winning program, so we got to practice like, you know, winning players. And, you know, we're always in the gym. You know, practices are like college-level practices, and then we all, you know, train off the court together, you know, as a whole program. So, I mean, it's just a pretty special place. No one's just by themselves. Like, everyone's really connected.
And is that pretty much all year long? Like, you don't really have an off season?
No, there's not really an off season. It's just work all day long.
Yeah.
Well, and Coach, I mean, for both of you, you had to deal with having the bullseye on you all year long. I mean, you're going to get everybody's best game. Mm-hmm. You know that. What's it like having the bullseye, Andy, all year long?
I felt like this year we were actually really mature with it. Last year was taxing mentally, I know. I think it was for everyone just because we had one state. But losing last year, I think, kind of reset our minds with exactly what we needed to focus on. But, you know, going into every game, you're going to have everyone's best shot, from the kids to the other coach to the student section and the crowd. And anyone that's 50-50 is going to root for them too. So like I told them a few times, like, hey, the Idaho Center is going to be about 70-30.
Right.
Or 30 against everyone else. So but we just expected that we're to that point now in 3 years.
Yeah. Now, are you just so dialed in, like, during a game that when you play, whether you're playing at home at Owyhee or you're at the Idaho Center in front of all of those people, does it make a difference? Does the noise make it? Does the energy make a difference?
I would say no, because we kind of just if we just play our way and we just stay connected, I don't think it really matters where or, you know, who we play against. But I just think for me, all season long, I love being the villain, and I love, you know, everyone hoping that we lose. It just ignites, you know, more flame to the fire. So I love it all season.
Well, and this is kind of a variation of the bullseye question, but for you as a player, I mean, you know, you're gonna get double teamed. You're gonna get trapped. How do you deal with that when you know going in, like, man, two or three guys are gonna be running at me all night long? How do you deal with that?
I think the biggest thing for me that I learned was that I had to trust my teammates, and I did, and we were very successful. And then teams couldn't double me; they couldn't triple me because we have so many guys that could just, you know, create something for themselves as well. So I just think that, you know, chemistry is a huge part of a team success. And especially as the only senior, I had to be the leader and get our guys together. And it, you know, it was really helpful, you know, especially having guys who kind of bought into that. And it was fun.
Yeah. Well, and one thing to tack on with what your original question, we've played on such large stages before.
Oh, yeah.
from Montford, who has three McDonald's All-Americans, to Sierra Canyon, to St. John Bosco, to Roosevelt and Salesian, who are both in the Final Four of California right now, tonight, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
To where we've been in experiences where maybe the crowd isn't like that, but the level of players are, and coaches. So
now, as a coach, how do you get your players in front of those kinds of teams? Do you have to, you're a hustler. I know this about you. Like, do you have to set things up? But you reach out to coaches in California, or are there certain, events that you go to? How do you get your guys?
Well, you've got to have really good players, number one, and that gets you opportunities. Having Liam the last 3 years has given us a lot of opportunities, and not only Liam, but Liam was a huge piece of that, right. But you get those opportunities and you produce, and then you get more opportunities. And so we did a really good job our first year of going to Section 7 in Phoenix and did pretty well. And then that opened up a lot of opportunities for us. And then we built a lot of relationships on the way. So now we got that invite back to Section 7 already. And that's it's just kind of what you expect now, you know.
Well, and before we leave this championship team, I mean, as a coach, you always hear coaches say, trying to get a team to gel, trying to get guys to buy into their roles. You got a lot of good players, and sometimes they may have to like pull themselves back. How hard was it to get all these guys to gel?
Yeah, when we won state, I came in the locker room and the first thing I said was, too many guys that need the ball, not enough basketballs, only one basketball, like, right. all that stuff.
All the stuff you hear, yeah.
We had the most unselfish team I've ever coached, and it didn't take a lot for me to challenge them to play the right way. Obviously, guys had to figure out during the year the right way to play the game and to sacrifice, because a lot of them came from situations where they were the guy shooting whatever shot they wanted. It was more, let's play basketball the game. Let's play the game of basketball the right way.
Right.
And they figured that out. And then once they did, it was game on.
That's cool.
Do you have to do a lot of, I imagine every day is team building. Are there extra outside of that, team dinners or activities or things like that that kind of help you guys gel as a team?
Yeah, no, we had team dinners almost every night before a game. So, I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things about, you know, our season was we always would just sit down at a table, eat, and just connect. And you know, that's when we learn a lot about, you know, everyone else. And that's how you get closer with just every single guy on that team. And then every time before practice, we would have a word of the month, and we'd have one guy be chosen to talk about toughness, you know, mentality or a word like that. And just you're supposed to have a one real life example, one basketball example, and you get to know a lot about them and, you know, what they've struggled with in the past or what they're trying to overcome. But I think that's what really, you know, kind of grew us as a team.
We always talk about, so every year the school district does a theme. This year was attitude over adversity. So how do you deal with adversity when you're down in the game, and you know, how do you deal with that stuff?
I think we just stick to our morals and what we've done all game, all season, all, you know, what we worked on in practice. And there's been games where it's been very close or we've been down. And, you know, we just have to just play the right way and just play our way of basketball. And that, you know, usually helped us overcome those.
That's really cool.
That is really cool.
Well, and Katie touched on this earlier, but as you mentioned, you're playing elite teams from all over the country. How does that come about? How do you hustle, to borrow Katie's word? Yeah. I mean, you got to hustle. How does that come about?
Like I said, I mean, we produced in a few certain situations early on. We had a really good run at Section 7 against some good teams, and then got invited back to that, and then we got invited to Damien, which is in California, the Christmas tournament.
Right.
We went down there, and we produced again. And so from there, it was just kind of, you know, Idaho's obviously unique to a lot of those states. Liam would know that coming from California.
Right.
But those guys all know us now because they're like, dang, who are these guys from Idaho?
Right.
Like, how are they? Like,
stop making a name for us. They know about Idaho. Yeah.
They're like, I don't know how many coaches have come up to me and been like, man, you guys play the right way. It's fun to watch you and you're legit, you know. And so word traveled, and then you get more opportunities. Guys like, you know, Montford invites us to their tournament, and Border League is calling us, and they're like, hey, we're going to put you in the top bracket. We're going to get you an ESPN game.
Oh, wow.
And so from there, it's just, you know, I think people appreciate the brand of basketball that we play. And obviously, we do have an advantage in that we're unique being from Idaho.
Yeah. I think that probably, you know, I'm trying to imagine, I have a high schooler. I'm trying to imagine all the families. Like, parents have to be really bought in on your team to support you in this travel, right? Like, how does that get funded?
We fundraise a lot. I mean, we have a lot of kids camps. We do a lot of fundraising within our gym. We did the West Data raffle. Every kid sold a certain amount of tickets this year. So really, when it really breaks down, our kids are only paying for one flight to California during the season.
Oh, that's so awesome.
All that travels typically from the hotels and the rental vehicle, it's all taken care of. It's just that one flight, which if we get ahead of it soon enough, it's not that expensive. Right. And obviously, if there's a kid that can't afford it, we help them.
Figure out a way.
That's pretty cool. Well, and one of the stats that just really jumped out at me when I was looking at what you all did, you beat in-state teams by almost 28 points per game. I mean, that's pretty unheard of. How does it feel to be able to put out those kind of numbers, Liam?
I mean, it feels great. And I think the biggest thing was, like, we can't worry about how much we beat a team by. Just a win is a win. And, you know, we played the right way of basketball, the right, you know, brand of basketball. So, I mean, it feels pretty good. The thing about our team is that we just have so much depth. And, you know, some teams just don't have that. Like, we're always rotating guys in left.
Fresh legs, man. Yeah. Fresh legs, yeah.
It wears on teams a lot. So, I mean, it just feels great. I've never done that before. I've never been a part of a team like that. So, I mean, it's just a pretty awesome experience.
Now here's kind of maybe a tough question for you, and be totally honest. Was it hard for you? You're obviously a great player. You've been recruited. You've committed. We'll get into that. Did you have to humble yourself a little bit to play this brand of basketball that you know, we keep talking about is a little bit different than other programs?
I mean, I definitely took less shots than last year, but I was fine with it because, I mean, all I care about is winning. I don't really care about personal accolades. I just cared about winning and what was best for our team. And I think since I bought into it, all the rest of the guys bought into it. So I think that was the most important part for me this year. And I think I was able to do a pretty good job with that. I mean, and a lot of the guys bought in. So I think that was a pretty big reason of like how we won state because of that.
Well, and Andy, for you, I mean, what's his work ethic like? Because the cliche is, hey, you need your senior, you need your best players, first guy in the gym, last guy to leave. What was his work ethic like?
And to tack on again to his leadership this year was set us apart. I mean, there were very few times this year where I had to get on our guys about
best thing for a coach. Yeah.
We won by 35. That doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like we very rarely did we have to actually pull them aside and run them or yell at them to be like, dude, our approach sucks right now. Like we have to fix our mentality. Like this is, you know, and that was because Liam set that tone with, and I think a lot of it helped losing in the state tournament last year for us to be like
humbling, right?
This can't happen, you know? So we need to remember this and use this. But I mean, Liam's work ethic is, there's no one out there that works harder than him. He's in the gym multiple hours every day. He's in the weight room with the personal trainer. He takes his diet seriously.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason that last year we had to pull him out of the gym because he was in there so much that he got jumper's knee. So laser sharp focus, like I think I told the paper, is what sets him apart. And then on top of that, he's incredibly coachable. I mean, and I've had as your best player, when you have a guy that is incredibly coachable, then everyone falls in line. And Liam has two parents that have taught him the right way. And his dad was a college volleyball coach for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
So he's a coach's kid.
Knows the work, right?
Yes. He knows how it's done. Right. So shout out to Jeff.
Is that where that drive comes from? Do you think it's inherent in you, or did your parents just raise you to be a go-getter like that?
I think my parents definitely just raised me to be a go-getter. I mean, I used to go to my dad's college games all the time. And, you know, I just learned that, like, be able to play at the next level, you gotta like work to be the best. I think one thing for me is like I feel guilty when I'm not working out. Like, I feel like if I'm not getting better, someone else is getting a little bit better than me every day, and that's like a guilty feeling I have. And I don't know, I think my parents have both kind of set that in my mind that like you just have to be the hardest working person in the gym.
That's really cool. Well, I kind of want to delve into the whole recruiting thing. You're going to be playing at USC next year, which is pretty darn cool, right?
Yeah.
What was the recruiting process like? And playing with Bronny James, LeBron James's son, can you talk about the recruiting process a little bit? What was all that like?
For sure. I mean, it was pretty hectic. I kind of blew up on the scene sophomore year when we went to Section 7. That's kind of when I made a name for myself. And, you know, just a lot of colleges kind of jumped in at that point. And one of the biggest thing I struggled with was the transfer portal because a lot of colleges be like, we're going for your position. We're going to go to the transfer portal. So it's kind of hard to, you know, have colleges kind of stay on the recruitment.
Sure.
But USC, I mean, they hit me up kind of day one and they stayed, you know, the journey. And they really wanted me and they showed a lot of support for me.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm from there. I I went to games as a kid, and you know, I still have family down there. It's kind of home for me. I mean, they just supported me the most, and I just thought, you know, that's probably the best place for me to be at.
So how early? I know. I think you've been committed for a while, right? Like, yeah. Can you commit during your junior year, or
how did I committed that end of what was that?
Yeah, right before August.
August of this year of your senior year.
Yes.
Okay. After club.
Yeah, after club, yeah.
And so does that feel like a big relief? Like, you know you're set. Yeah. Like, you know where you're going next year. Now you just got to perform this year, enjoy high school.
Definitely a big weight off the shoulders. But I was like, I mean, the work doesn't stop. But the good thing is, like, hey, I found a place that really wants me. But I just got to keep, you know, grinding, stay in the gym.
Well, and listen, what advice would you give? I mean, there's a lot of West Ada athletes, whether it's basketball, football, baseball. What advice would you give to other West Ada athletes who are thinking about playing at the next level? What would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I would say trust the process, because there's going to be times where, you know, you're not going to want to play basketball. You're not going to want to go in the gym. Right, and right. You just got to just trust it. And again, back to what I was saying about feeling guilty, like, you got to find that. And you got to, like, just work harder than everyone else, because I mean, the best players, like in the NBA and college, they're being consistent in the gym, and you know, it's just, you have to have a greater work ethic, and right. You know, the best players have that. So I would say just trust the process and just try and work harder than everyone else.
That's really
does
true.
That include a personal trainer? Do you work with one of those programs or somebody outside of your OIE basketball program?
Yeah, so I was lucky to find a personal trainer. Jack Payne, went to him, and he really suggested it to me, and I was like, you know, okay, I'm gonna try it. But I think finding like a small group of people that believe in you could really help. And you know, I have, you know, skilled basketball trainers that helped me too. But finding a weight trainer that like really is set on like your development is very important. And I'm glad I found someone like that.
That's cool. Well, and Andy, from a coaching perspective, What's it like for you to help shepherd the guys through the recruiting process? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I'm sure you're being contacted all the time. What does that look like, and how do you help your players navigate that stuff?
It's a moving target. I mean, with the transfer portal, he got 10 offers or so after the sophomore summer, right. Or whatever. He just blew up, and maybe I'm wrong on the number, but he blew up, and then the transfer portal happened the last 2 years. And so the recruiting process has completely changed. And schools are not offering kids as often as they were when they offered Liam.
Right.
Just because those coaches don't know where they're going to be. They don't know what 22-year-old that's at Tulsa or at Montana or wherever that's ready to play right away is going to enter that portal. So it's a moving target. And like Liam kind of said, you've got to just trust the process and control what you can control. They're the ones that are recruiting you. You can't go up to USC and be like, I want you to recruit me. You have to be good enough. And then they're going to decide if they want you or not. And so I think that everyone gets caught up in the wrong things, and it's just focusing on you and what you have, and then seeing what you have from there.
Makes sense.
And then going where you're wanted. There's a lot of places that, you know, maybe are sexier or more appealing to you, but you need to go to the place that where they believe in you.
Right.
So
and finding that right fit.
So and SC believes in Liam. I know that. So I think it's a great fit, and that's, you need to go where people believe in you.
Yeah. Now, we got to talk to Coach Danielson, head coach from BSU football, right? And he was telling us that the first thing they do when they're recruiting, they reach out to the coaches and talk to them, like, what's this player's character like? What's their work ethic? But I assume you had some of those conversations about Liam from college coaches, or not so much?
Yeah. No, about five or six of the schools that were recruiting the hardest, we talked, you know, a fair amount.
Right.
I coach club as well, so we have that relationship through that as well, me and Clint Horteman, who was Liam's club coach for 2 years. But yeah, no, they're constantly asking about all that type of stuff, and Liam's was easy because, you know, he's pretty coachable. He's a great kid. And work ethic's through the roof. So.
Sure. Well, and I think one of the things, listen, there's a perception, right or wrong, Owyhee, 2 championships in 3 years. Amazing. I'm a basketball junkie. I hear, Owyhee, they recruit. Jack Payne, you talked about Jack. And sure. How do you address that as a coach?
I mean, the reason that I took Owyhee was to work for Cliff and Dane. I mean, that was the opportunity was there. And then obviously Owyhee is not only one of the fastest growing areas in Idaho, but in the country. And so you're looking at it and you're going, man, all the growth is going to move to that area. And you get to establish your own culture. And so you saw kind of year three of what our culture was starting to turn to. Right. And I think it, I mean, I don't want to say it recruits itself, but our program recruits itself. Like, we are a great program. We do certain things a certain way. And like, I think it appeals to people that want to be a part of that.
Right. And you know, YHE's a growing school. And so there's open enrollment in our district. And so really anyone potentially could go there. So it's not that, that you as a program or YHE as a school is like, hey, best athletes yeah. come to us. They come because of the program you offer. And sure. that's a legit fair thing to have.
Sure.
No, sure. Well, I think, you know, the last question I have for you is like, what's next? I mean, you're losing one senior. He was a pretty good senior, I guess. Not bad.
Leave me a good legacy, right? Yeah.
But what's next? I mean, for you, what's next in your mind?
I mean, I love the high school game. I've had opportunities to go to college, had three this last summer. And just like Liam had opportunities to go to prep schools. We want to build the best program that we can possibly build. And we want to build one that is competing with schools like Bishop Gorman and Harvard Westlake and schools across the West Coast. I want to be a power on the West Coast. So that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to build and accomplish. And we just want to keep developing our program the best we can.
So it's a long-term vision. It's not a win for right now. It's
No. I'm not going anywhere. My wife loves it here. Yeah. She's got an amazing job. She pays the bills. basketball's not paying those, but no, right? we love the Treasure Valley, and I love what we're building at Owyhee. I mean, I think our culture's only going to get stronger.
Well, we can't thank you guys enough. This is our first kind of pop-up podcast. So for you guys just to come in on a snowy day and chat with us it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations. That's an awesome achievement.
Is there anything that we haven't asked you, though, before we say goodbye? I mean, it's great to have you here. Anything that what's next for you? I mean, obviously USC, but what's next? What are your goals?
I think my main goal, I mean, ever since I was a kid, was to go to the NBA or, you know, just play professionally. So if I think USC can help me get there. One of their biggest things for me is that they think that they could develop me into a professional player, and they've had a lot of success over the years. So that's my goal. You know, I'll see where basketball takes me, but I mean, all my thanks to, you know, moving out here and going to a great school like Owyhee. I mean, I wouldn't regret it.
That's very cool.
I mean, I'd do it all over again. So I thank them for that, but you know, I'm ready for my next chapter.
Well, like I say, just can't thank you guys enough for coming out here on a snowy day and our first little pop-up podcast. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Appreciate having us.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're wrapping up here. Coach checks his phone.
Liam's Max Preps Player of the Year for the state of Idaho.
All right.
Liam,
awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's ahead and tuck another accolade in your hat before you take off for USC.
How does it make you feel?
I mean, I feel great. Obviously, that's actually pretty cool. I'm a little shell shocked. I don't know what to say. But no, that feels
pulse
great.
Pulse rate's a little high.
Yeah, no, that feels great.
We better wrap this up so you can call your mom.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely call them.
Okay, mom, here we go.
That's great.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, how weird was that to have something happen in real time? And congratulations again to Liam.
Oh, so cool. So it was so cool to see it on his face, how excited. I mean, what an honor.
Very cool. So thank you to Liam and Andy for joining us today. And listen, this is our special Pulse podcast, but we appreciate you being here. As always, you can subscribe to our podcast on any of the major platforms. And I tell you, you can also listen to us if you're listening. We love that. But if you're watching on YouTube, I have to say a very special thank you. One of my good friends, Scott McDaniel, he shot all those photographs that I showed you as we were kind of recording the episode today. So thank you to Scott. And so it's worth listening, but it's also worth watching on YouTube this time to see some of those amazing
some killer
pictures.
Shots from the state championship.
Yeah, that
game
was very cool. And if you're a sports fan, boy, do we have a surprise coming up for you.
Oh, man. Okay. So this was just our Pulse podcast. Yeah. We'll be bringing these to you in addition to our regular format podcast, which you're going to want to join us for this next one coming up on Monday, the 11th. We have Coach Spencer Danielson, head coach of BSU football, and it was a phenomenal conversation. So all things sports this week, it's really exciting. We'll switch from basketball to football, but who doesn't love good All-American sports talk?
It's kind of fun to talk about sports for a change. That's what my old stomping grounds. And anyway, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you enjoyed this special pop-up Pulse.